This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton once again flying solo on 7-5 Radio, heard all over on the Liberty News Radio Network and our podcast. Today is February 26, 2022. I am red hot and rolling. And let's get down to business, force order business. We always want to remember members of the law enforcement community who are murdered in the line of duty. Tonight we remember Deputy Constable Neil Adams of the San Jacinto County, Texas Constable's Office, end of watch February 23rd, 2022. His killer is DOA. Now, a little housekeeping notes. I am running solo. We had to run a best of last week. I'm having some issues at my house. I got some repairs going on due to some damage I suffered, and I've had some real piece of work people in my house. So Saturday I had to pull an audible and say run last week's show because I couldn't do it because family comes first. And Mr. Yerkew is recovering from his illness. He is not fighting the war in Ukraine, even though he could probably do it single-handedly. With that being said, I want to thank Andrew Giuliani co-hosted with me 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard, please check out the archives. It's up there. We have a gubernatorial candidate and son of Mayor Rudy Giuliani come out and co-host. He wasn't a guest. He wasn't any of those type of things. He was a co-host. And I asked his campaign people, I said, hey, what does Andrew want to talk about? He said, well, he wants to get rid of the bummy DA. I said, no problem. So it was one for the books. And then towards the end, he said, oh, I want to put somebody on. I'm thinking, okay, it's Mrs. Giuliani, his lovely wife, or his one-year-old daughter, or things like that, because on the cesspool, James puts his family on all the time. I said, okay, not a problem. When Lionel Black Rosebud, he guest hosted, and he said, you know what, I'm going to book a guest, and it was a great show. But anyways, he put on Rudy Giuliani, and I was shocked. And, of course, I became a fanboy because I've seen Giuliani as U.S. attorney putting the five families away. I've seen him as mayor clean up the streets in New York, and I've seen him as the face of America on September 11th while George Bush was flying all over the country on Air Force One. And, of course, as the mayor is talking, our ending bumper music came on. But I need to thank Andrew Giuliani for coming on. He will be on again. And I said, listen, since I have the honor of placing you on, I need a big favor. What? I will come to your ceremony when you get your inauguration ceremony and say hi. So I was like, no problem. But the problem is I want to bring the family. So I don't know if they have a beer stand at the inauguration. But anyways, Andrew will be back. He had a blast, and he is great as co-host. And meanwhile, I need to step up my game, or it will be Walter and the governor. But anyways, we'll talk about that later. Anyways, next order of business, we want to say hi to Little Billy Keebler and the fine men and the women of the Onondaga, New York Fire Department. Keep saving the meth labs because Meth Lab County needs them. Also, Billy, I want to say that the men and women of the Detroit Fire Department must have the Onondaga Fire Department SOP. What am I talking about? Well, this message is going out to the men and women of the Detroit Fire Departments. You know what? I know things are tough. The work has not stopped. The pay is horrendous. And unfortunately, your benefits are a joke. You're working another job to survive. Your wife or husband is threatening to leave then you have those that don't quit. But remember, you are part of one of the greatest fire departments on God's green earth. You work too hard to become one of Detroit's bravest. Do not throw it away. You work hard for what you have, and trust me, do not go to the bottle to solve anything. It will make things worse. Trust me, I know. If you do want to take that rig outside saving the limits while driving drunk, go work with Billy Keeler over at the Onondaga Fire Department. They fight meth lab fires and trail fires all day long. Otherwise, get some help. Please call your EAP, call your union, or contact Charlie Duff, or call somebody, because your family is depending on you, your city is depending on you, and your fellow brothers on that rig is definitely depending on you to go out there and save Detroit. But anyways, I have a vested interest in the Detroit Fire Department because many years ago, when the Ice Bucket Challenge was going on, Charlie Duff issued the Detroit Fire Hose Challenge. What's that? Well, our friend of the show, Charlie Duff, took a shot of 1.5 hose to the face. Now, I didn't have 1.5 fire hose to take in the face, so what I did, I went down to the Washington Monument and took a drink of the water of the reflecting pool at the Washington Monument. And I can honestly say, it was the most disgusting liquid I had ever ingested in my life. And trust me, folks, I worked on the collection and holding tanks, i.e. Shipboard sanitations, i.e. toilets on the U.S. Naval vessels. But I'm just going to leave it at that. Moving right along. Coming up this week, hopefully sooner than later, is the trucker protest in the District of Columbia. As this show stands for the truckers in Ottawa, the truckers in America are coming to D.C. to tie up traffic and make things difficult for myself and all the people who look down on you, the people who live outside of the Beltway who do not live in New York City or California. And I say, I cannot wait. People in D.C. are already shaking in their boots. Truckers are sick of the skyrocketing diesel costs, the vaccine mandates, having our rights taken away, our Constitution being used as toilet paper, and this entire country is falling apart right before our eyes. Like in D.C., they're putting up the fencing again. You saw after January 6th, you have police cars and dump trucks on off-ramps of the main thoroughfare that goes through D.C., Interstate 395/695. But there's nobody in the dump trucks. Also, there's National Guard vehicles parked at these off-ramps in case something should go wrong. But anyways, moving right along, 75 Radio has always supported the American trucker. 10 years ago, I was one of the very few vocally to support the trucker protest to shut down America. But anyways, when we come back, we will be talking about the trucker protest. Also, some horrendous programming on Showtime. And maybe we'll get to Ukraine. But anyway, stay tuned, everybody. We're coming right back. Check us out, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Take it away, boys.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
We are back. We are red hot and rolling. This is Peter Scoop standing by himself on the 26th of February. Anyways, back to the American trucker protest. Thousands of truckers plan on coming to our nation's capital soon, right around the time Joe Biden gives his State of the Union address, which is Tuesday. But anyways, 7-5 Radio has always supported the American trucker. 10 years ago, I was one of the few vocal supporters for the truck protest to shut down America, which fell kind of short because of bad weather and just not enough publicity, not enough organization, and so on and so forth. But anyways, in 2020, I was on Constitution Avenue with the truckers literally in front of the White House. Now, President Trump told the mayor, Mario Bowser, to let the trucks park on the street. And I met some of the nicest people from all over the world that want to change the rules concerning third-party brokers. And these people, unlike Black Lives Matter, throw a protest like no other. They were very peaceful. They fed strangers, not part of the protest, including homeless people and yours truly. And they even picked up trash that wasn't there. I mean, you thought Constitution Avenue was a truck stop instead of a protest, but, I mean, very, very peaceful. Secret Service sitting outside the White House was very bored, and Metropolitan Police Department bored because, again, we're peaceful and we're doing anything, unlike Black Lives Matter, which tore the city a new one. But anyways, the American trucker moves this nation's economy. Everything we buy came on the back of a truck. It was shipped on a railroad car or on a cargo ship. It was put on and taken off by a truck. The trucking industry also supports the economy with truck and trailer manufacturers, tire makers, food service, the oil industry, hospitality industry, hotel industries, and other industries indirectly. But anyways, being a trucker is one job you cannot outsource to India or the Philippines. But years ago, the Democrat Party was the party of the so-called working man, including the trucker. The blue-collar union man, including the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, which I was a member of Local 117 in Secaucus, New Jersey. Now the Democrat Party is the party of elite, upper-middle-class special interests. The Democrat Party wants gay marriage, open borders, affirmative action, gun control, and total wokeness. He used to say there is no room for the blue-collar worker or the American trucker. And unfortunately, don't look at the Republicans for help either. They're going after the same voter and the same donation money. Now, if you're in the Washington metropolitan area in the next coming couple of days, come on down, because it should be fun. Because, again, these people absolutely look down on the American trucker because, you know, they voted for Trump. They wear trucker hats. They didn't go to Ivy League schools. They're not in government, so on and so forth. But it should be a darn good time. And I plan on coming down to the truck protest or going to the truck protest or whatever and find out live reports. Now, speaking of transportation, I sat on this story for about a week before I wanted to comment on it, but it's something I know very well. Last week outside of Pittsburgh, a mother of four, moonlighting as a driver for Uber, was killed by a black savage after she begged for her life after she picked him up. Now, I wanted to see if the media would do what they usually do, and they did to a T. They buried the story, they killed the story, they ignored the story. The last thing the media wants to report is another white person murdered by a young black man with a criminal record. Let me say that again. The last thing the mainstream media wants to report on is another white person murdered by a young black man with a criminal record. But unfortunately, it's like, you know, it's going to, breaking news, sun's going to rise in the morning. Also breaking news, the sun's going to set in the evening. Now, if we all know, if it was a white man that killed a black female, it would be 24-7. Al Sharpton, I asked for comments if he's not flying down out of Teterboro Airport on his private plane. Benjamin Crump would be looking for plaintiffs. Black Lives Matter would be burning stuff down, so on and so forth, but nothing. So anyways, as someone that does drive for Uber and Lyft, I can tell you that these drivers are not getting rich. These people need to drive to make ends meet. The cars are absolutely nothing special. They're just four-door sedans, usually older, usually beat up. And pretty rarely we handle cash because it's all electronic. Once in a while you get a cash tip, which we really, really love. And unfortunately here in D.C., the younger people have no clue about tipping. But I spoke of that in a couple years ago. But anyways, we would be some of the last people you want to mug, because again, we don't have any money. We're doing this to survive. Now, as for the customers, cabbies and Uber drivers have been avoiding poor neighborhoods for years for safety reasons, including yours truly. But this has gone on for decades. It will continue to go on for decades because it's a survival instinct. Now, these men and women wanted to see their families at the end of their shift. Now, the plexiglass that you see in taxi cabs between cabbies and drivers, it's not because of upper middle class white people mugging cabbies. We all know who was doing the mugging. But anyways, today's poor people in the hood have it bad in terms of rideshare service because they always have to pay higher rates because drivers, including yourself, do not want to drive in the hood because, one, we are afraid that there will be no trips out of the hood. Because, like, back in New York, cabbies would not go up to the Bronx because if they drove up to the Bronx, they're going to come back to Manhattan Island and nobody's going to take a cab from the Bronx into Manhattan. Same thing. If I go out of the hood, nobody's going to come out of the hood. It's very rarely. Also, some of the people traveling into the hood are people you would not want in your car in the first place. I don't know how many times I took a trip, I didn't know what to the hood or through the hood or what have you. And these people are just some horrible people. Trust me, they belong back in the jungle. And number three, personal safety. It's driving these people in these neighborhoods is dangerous. Now, years ago, I spoke to an immigrant from Ethiopia who was a cab driver. He told me did not pick up young black men, nor took anybody to the ghetto because of the clientele. And I'll tell you, folks, this man was darker than piano keys. Now, one time I did drop a fare off in the hood and picked up an older lady that same night in the ghetto. And I felt sorry for her because she had to pay top dollar and wait a long time because her neighbors cannot behave. Now, this is not the first time something that's happened in D.C. in terms of violence. An Uber Eats driver was carjacked with a stun gun by two teenagers. And in Greenbelt, Maryland, which is just outside of D.C., an Uber driver was shot at the train station. But fortunately, he survived. Now, as for Uber itself, they really don't care about us. To them, we're just contractors or the help. And they have done nothing for the drivers work for Uber who have become a target or unfortunately have become a statistic. Unlike a taxi driver that will rent the car in the medallion or they own the car with a medallion or all proper licensing, Uber drivers and Lyft drivers represent the company when they drive or deliver because their name is on the car. People go to the Uber and Lyft app and say, oh, I want to go from my location to this location. And they see who's driving. They say, okay, Scoob's driving. Let me have him pick me up and take him there. But anyways, we're halfway through the show and we're just getting warmed up. Next, we're going to talk about Black History Month and some awful shows on the Showtime Network. Check us out once again, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Take away, boys.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Russia is getting closer to Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. The Pope has called Ukrainian President Zelensky. He says he welcomes an offer from Turkey to broker peace talks and says through an interpreter,
our main objective is to end this carnage. The losses of the enemy are very serious. There are hundreds of dead soldiers who crossed our border, who came to our land. Unfortunately, we have losses too.
Military analyst Jack Watling warns Russia plans to circle the capital and then attack.
If we start seeing rolling lines of thermobaric rocket launchers coming up, then, you know, we're going to see mass civilian casualties.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken authorized $350 million to help Ukraine fend off the Russians. This is USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15, decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
President Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, introduced herself to the nation on Friday. She would be the first African-American woman on the high court, if confirmed.
I can only hope that my life and career, my love of this country and the Constitution, and my commitment to upholding the rule of law and the sacred principles upon which this great nation was founded will inspire future generations of Americans.
Forecasters say an Arctic front projected to swing down from Canada into the Northeast will bring another round of snow showers on Sunday. Weathermen say the snow showers are likely to develop across northern and central Michigan before transitioning eastward into New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine. The strong front is expected to ramp up windy conditions across the Northeast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop Stanton flying solo again, just like my romantic interludes. Anyways, Walter Yerkew is on the rebound. He is getting better, and he will be back next week. Anyways, next order of business, we want to talk about Black History Month. On the Showtime Network, they poured out some piece of garbage documentary called Everything's Going to Be All White. That's not Everything's Going to Be All Right. Everything's Going to Be All White. Now, they put a short trailer on YouTube, and they have a warning that says white people will be triggered if they watch this. Like, okay. Now, what if somebody, such as like 7-5 Radio or the Political Cesspool or anybody else, put out a trailer for a documentary saying black people would be triggered? Well, it would be pulled, and mainstream media would report about it, and things would be burned, and Al Sharpton would be flying his private jet out of Teterboro Airport. But anyways, the Showtime Network is trying its hand on anti-white propaganda. I am not shocked or outraged because this is going on for decades. Fine, you know what? Showtime has the right to do what they want to do, put on whatever crap they want to put on. But when we point out flaws in the black community, we are called, stay with me, everybody, racist. Meanwhile, when people like Brandon Tatum and Lanell Harris say the exact same thing, they are called Uncle Tom Coon sellouts. Anyways, it is what it is. But, you know, but don't look for short time to address the fact that black IQ is an average of 85, while white IQ is average over 100. Or the net worth of black women is $5. That's $5, not $5,000, not $5 million. $5. Don't look for the fact that the first American slave owner was black, and black people sold other blacks into slavery. Or black men make up only 6% of the general population, but almost 50% of the jail population. Or that over 70% black children are born to single, unwed mothers. Or that blacks have higher unemployment rates and higher dropout rates, or that white liberals think blacks cannot get ahead, so they came up with affirmative action, or black people can't get an ID to vote, so we need to kill every voter ID law there is known to man, or you won't hear that cities that are black majority over generations are absolute toilets. Talking about cities like Detroit, Baltimore, St. Louis, Gary, Indiana, and whatever majority black city you can think of. Well, anyways, I watched this pile of trash, and the first 5 minutes of just watching this wanted me to turn off the television. The start of this anti-white show was, of course, January 6th. And then it goes on from there. Everything from American history is a white lie. Then the subject matter was turned to Jesus. These anti-people Christians said Jesus was not white. Well, duh, but he was not black either. But anyways, then they had some unfunny white comedian painting a black Jesus on a crucifix. It was not funny whatsoever. But anyways, what if imagine a unfunny white comedian doing something with the image of the Prophet Muhammad or the Star of David. Again, you know, that's what the left does. They hate it's okay to hate Christianity, but God help you if you hate Islam or the chosen religion. But anyways, as they're talking about how white people are awful, let's talk about how blacks can't get ahead in America. I mean, we only elected a half black president twice. We have black governors, black lieutenant governors, black mayors, black senators, black congresspeople, black judges, black professors, black doctors, and we have black millionaires, at least 2 black billionaires. Not bad for a racist white country. In terms of helping these people, we have the War on Poverty, which has given generous benefits via AFDC, or Aid to Families of Dependent Kids, Medicaid, Section 8, and direct payments for over 60 years. And guess what? Black people are still poor. We also have set-asides for school placements, scholarships, jobs, job promotions, contracts, and other benefits in media and other benefits. Now, in the media, blacks are featured in at least 50% of all commercials. Now, if you're watching the Super Bowl, you swear like half this country is black. And they've been doing it for years. And of course, if they show a couple on TV or on YouTube, any stupid commercial on YouTube, when you're watching an episode of 75 Radio on YouTube, they always have a couple. It's always usually a black male and a white female. Now, sometimes on the Geico commercial, they'll have like a white male and a black female, but usually it's a black male and a white female and mixed kids. I mean, if you came from Mars and turned on American television, you'd say, okay, well, I guess it's the dark men and the white, light-colored women get together and have, mocha-colored kids. But anyways, that's what we're subjected to. And you know, it's to a point where I don't watch TV anymore. You know, people are going to do what people are going to do. We shouldn't be throwing it in our face. But anyways, in terms of black history, we had St. Martin Luther King Jr. that was a communist sympathizer, a womanizer, and an absolute rabble-rouser. And in the 1960s, the ghettos of Los Angeles, Newark, Detroit, and other cities burned. In 1992, Los Angeles burned again with the verdict of 4 LAPD officers acquitted of beating Rodney King. In 2005, New Orleans was decimated by Hurricane Katrina. Some New Orleans police officers of color helped themselves at a Walmart after other black people looted it. Other able-bodied black males did nothing while others looted in New Orleans. Other people turned the Superdome into the seventh layer of hell. That wasn't mentioned in this documentary movie or just about anywhere else. You had to research it. Then after the Superdome and convention centers were turned into hell's waiting room, the able-bodied black men in New Orleans waited in line for government help. Anyways, in 2015, Baltimore, Maryland burned and was turned upside down again because legendary dope dealer Freddie Gray dialed while attempting to injure himself in the back of a police van headed to Central Booking. That year, the Baltimore Orioles played a home game without fans due to the Freddie Gray riots. Now, moving to 2020, habitual criminal George Floyd attempted to pass counterfeit bills as high as a kite and dies in police custody. And America burned. Now, we all know about George Floyd and the country burning, but only a few know about David Dorn. Who is David Dorn? A twice-retired police officer who happens to be black and was murdered in a mostly peaceful riot. A friend of his had a pawn shop. Alarm went off. He went down to secure, make sure everything's okay. And some he said, you know what, killed him. And then somebody broadcast on a Facebook Live. But anyways, that didn't make the documentary either. But adding gasoline to the fire is none other than Black Lives Matter. This group only gets involved when black people die due to interactions with white police officers. This group does not support the nuclear family, nor families who lost a loved one that dies in police custody. Now, Black Lives Matter raised millions of dollars and purchased multiple homes for themselves. The families of Eric Garner, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd get nothing. But that wasn't mentioned in the documentary either. Besides all the people who die in police custody, there are hundreds of kids that die from stray bullets. But we won't talk about that, and Showtime does not want to talk about that. But anyways, in the documentary, we were told black people can't keep a grocery store in the neighborhoods. That's because these people steal from the grocery stores, or the people working them steal from inside the grocery stores. But the nice liberals from Starbucks and Ben & Jerry's won't go to the black neighborhoods either. Neither will Chick-fil-A. But there's always White Castle and other chicken shacks where you can order food behind safety glass, ditto for liquor stores. Now, in transportation, bus operators now have plexiglass that separates the bus driver from the savages. Because years ago, some nice black lady decided to urinate in a cup on a crowded bus on a Saturday afternoon and threw the cup on the bus driver, who also happens to be black. But again, this is Whitey's fault, according to the documentary. But again, this was not talked about. Now, let's talk about how black people just can't get ahead in America. I mean, we already talked about that. Anyways, in terms of helping these people, white people had the war on poverty and we'll be coming right back. Finish up with this horrible documentary, and then we'll move on to the ESPN. All right, 75 Radio on Libby News Radio Network. Stay tuned, everybody.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Well, Mr. Edwards is just Scoop. Walt is still recovering. He will be back on next week. But anyways, talking about this horrendous piece of trash, racist, anti-white documentary called Everything's Gonna Be All White on Showtime. Thankfully, I don't pay for Showtime, because if I did, I would have canceled it. But anyways, finally, I want to say about this piece of trash show. Black people have been more successful in America than any other place on earth. And white people have helped more black people in America than black people actually helped themselves, to paraphrase our buddy Patrick Ryan. So anyways, this documentary, everything's Whitey's fault. And then worst part about it was the so-called downtrodden, the black people that they were talking, were all successful people. They were musicians, comedians, rappers, professors, commentators, actors, other people who were not poor. And, of course, there's one Sarkeesian who looked well-fed. Yeah, so Whitey is so racist that you're a succession, whatever you're given the chosen profession was. And one other show I want to talk about that really shocked me was, we have to talk about Cosby. Obviously, of course, Bill Cosby. Black, racist, nerd, unfunny comedian Kamau Bell did this documentary, and it was shockingly good. I can't believe it, because, I mean, me and Kamau Bell would probably disagree with time as if both of us were standing in front of a clock. But the premise of this documentary was that the life of Bill Cosby, because from starting off as a comedian, I Spy, to the Cosby Show, Fat Albert, so on and so forth. So this guy was, like, you know, one of the most powerful men in all of Hollywood. And he did help make some changes in Hollywood. Like, for example, they had actual black stuntmen. Years ago, if you had a black character that was going to perform a stunt, they had a white stuntman in black face, little black, literally with black paint on their face. So he helped some black stuntmen get some work, so it's more realistic. He did had some more black people, some jobs in Hollywood, and so on and so forth, which is great. But, you know, talking about his great accomplishments in front of the camera as a comedian, what he did for people but off the camera, and then they went to the victims, which is just jaw-dropping, because every single one of them had this is the same MO. They met Cosby, they impressed by Cosby, offered him a drink, and next thing you know, they're feeling funny, they wake up and they don't know what happened. And Cosby is a master criminal, because he'd say, oh yeah, you got too drunk, but don't worry about it. And then he would meet the victim's family and befriend the victim's family, give them some jobs or take us to a show or seating at one of his television tapings or whatever. And so the victim would say, oh, he must have, okay, I must have really gotten smashed with Cosby, because he's a really nice guy. But that's his MO time and time and time again. And the thing that got me was that nobody said a word. I mean, where was Mrs. Cosby? She's always sitting at home, or he's out doing whatever he's doing. And just really regurgitating. And, you know, something tells me Hollywood knew about it. NBC must have had to know about it. But then he's bringing millions of dollars to NBC and says that network's ass. But then again, he's doing these awful things to women. And thankfully, Mr. Cosby and I are very far apart in terms of age, because if we're growing up around the same time and, say, God forbid, one of my daughters wanted to go to Hollywood, well, you get the picture. But anyways, it was a very good documentary, even though I did not like the director at all. Of course, he had to throw some stuff about black people in the thing. I mean, that's the thing about his Bell character. Everything is about race. Everything is about black people and hate on white people. But, you know, who goes to shows? You know, liberal white people. And they say, I went to see a black comedian, so they're down with the cause. But anyways, check it out. Also, if you watch ESPN, don't, because you're part of the controlled opposition. Project Veritas had a great video of a person who worked there, and just the how much they hate whites and treated white people just make you want to puke. But finally, I want to talk about the war in Ukraine, because everybody else is talking about it. Good grief. And personally, I don't care what goes on between Ukraine and Russia. Well, everybody here in the U.S. worries about Russia and Ukraine. The U.S. border is wide open. The bad guys could roll a mobile missile launcher with a nuclear warhead right between the border, right up the highway in Texas. And all I know is that when President Trump gave Ukraine shoulder-fired missiles years ago, Russia backed off. Now Joe Biden threatened sanctions and Russia invaded, and the price of gas is going through the roof. Now his press secretary, Jen Psaki, made us feel better when she said that standing up for values is not without cost. What values? Kill jobs, gay marriage, open borders. I mean, what cost? And what the hell does that mean anyways? Another interesting fact is that real-life James Bond villain George Soros, one, has a Twitter account. Of course, he's a blue check mark. Two, he's supporting Ukraine. Now, with that being said, maybe Soros and Putin know something we don't. Also, I'm waiting for Democrat war hero, retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, to join Ukrainian forces. I can imagine a firefight somewhere in Ukraine. The soldier yelled at Vindman, "Hey, Vindman, over there!" And then the good Lieutenant Colonel would yell back at the soldier, say, "Hey, this Lieutenant Colonel, I'm shot!" But who we kid, Vindman's not going to Ukraine. And anyways, don't even get me started on Vindman. He's a poor excuse for a soldier. I mean, we had a real soldier on this network from Special Forces, and he was AJ squared away. Meanwhile, Vindman, who's done nothing but try to sabotage a patriotic president, he's a war hero. But anyways, I'm moving right along. But my question is, why is George Soros, why are they supporting Ukraine, number one? And why hasn't a real-life James Bond or Jason Bourne or somebody paid Mr. Soros a visit? But, you know, be very cautious or be very aware when George Soros is rooting for one side over another. Just like when George Soros bankrolled all these bummy, crappy DAs, now our streets are absolutely in chaos. I think he has a security system like you saw in the Purge movies that he's invested in or is about to release. But anyways, we got a couple seconds left. Usually I turn over to Walter so he can say something and the music comes in. But Walter will be back next week. I will be doing, something with the truckers next week or during the week or something like that. So stay tuned for that. Also, shout out to my buddy Stas. He's been giving me so much information what's going on in the District of Columbia to make your head spin. I mean, this man can, the stuff he gives me, I can do a show every single week without all the material. Stas, I just want to say we will meet up sooner than later, maybe next Saturday. I got to check my schedule, but I definitely want to meet you and have a couple of adult beverages. Another interesting fact, in the District of Columbia, you got some correction officers over at the D.C. jail. He was arrested and charged for bringing a contraband to a jail. Now, if you know anything about the jails, the people that are in jail deserve to be there and don't have enough, either good enough lawyer to get you out on bail or don't have enough money to get you out on bail. So this guy was bribed to bring in weapons and marijuana and other contraband into the jail. And this guy's an idiot because these people have nothing. What can somebody inside do for you? Give you a couple of cookies from commissary, something like that? Well, anyways, that's DC jail in a nutshell. You know, you got one correction officer bringing in weapons and weed to one inmate, and you got people locked up from January 6th received nothing. But it's well, and that's your government at work. You got a jail operated by the federal District of Columbia, the absolute toilet. I mean, it's worse than the Gulag or some prison in North Korea. And they got dudes come in bringing weed and weapons to the other dudes. So hopefully he'll be wearing a prison grace real soon. Also, another fun fact about the District of Columbia, they are swimming in money. I mean, they make literally hundreds of million dollars from the stupid speed cameras, which I think are unconstitutional because you don't have the right to face your accuser to say, hey, you were speeding. So the district has all this money they don't know what to do with. I mean, they don't fix up the jails. They don't fix up the trains for the metro system. And they certainly don't fix up the roads. Except they put these ginormous hills, called speed bumps, on busy roads. So now you got to slow down or your car gets wrecked. But all you have to do is not even put down speed bumps because the road's actually horrendous. I know people are cursing at me because I drive very slow going through the district because, again, it's like going through the Ukraine in the middle of a war zone because there's potholes everywhere. But anyways, we made it through another week. Check us out. We are at 75radio.org. 75radio.org. When you go to the website, you can check out our our podcast. We are on Spotify, and we will not back down. We will not apologize. We will not cheat and not surrender. And thank you, James Edwards and Walter Yerkew and The Doors for this awesome song. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.